Welcome to Disorderly Dogs, the podcast for dog guardians. If you find yourself in precarious predicaments with your dog, this podcast is for you. I'm a certified professional dog trainer, and I take my 10 years of training experience and I share easy to implement dog training advice with an emphasis on kindness and compassion. Welcome. I'm so excited to share more. Welcome back to another episode of Disorderly Dogs, the podcast. I'm so delighted to have you listening today. I will warn you that while I do my best to edit this podcast and make it as listenable as possible, I have neighbors and my neighbors are having yard work done, major yard work done with like big machinery. So I'm hoping that they're taking their lunch right now. So I will do my best to edit out background noise. But if you hear things, that's what's happening. I do my best, but sometimes you got to record a podcast when the neighbors are having yard work done. All right. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about spring shifts, meaning shifts in your dog's behavior and how they behave when you're out in the world, sometimes less than desirable. But before I talk about spring shifts, I wanted to talk about two other things. So if you are listening to this podcast today on Friday, the 29th of March, we are starting the recall training challenge tomorrow on Saturday, March 30th. So if you've been meaning to train your dog's recall, we want to invite you. Steph and I are going to host 4 live calls, 4 Saturdays in a row, to talk you through all of the ins and outs of teaching your dog to come when called. So you can invest in our program, Trustworthy Recalls. It is on sale right now, and then get access to those 4 live calls. I will also say, for those of you listening who have already invested in Trustworthy Recalls, you can still join the challenge. You just have to log in on the website, and then on the sidebar of the course, there is the link to register to the recall training challenge. So if you've been meaning to train a recall, I'd like to invite you to come there. Additionally, Reactive Redefined, our signature coaching program for reactive dogs and their guardians, is opening for enrollment on April 1st. So if you are on the wait list, you will get an email with a special link for the early bird savings. Steph and I love Reactive Redefined. This round was amazing, and I was able to connect with so many great teams and support them on their training journey. So if your dog lunges, barks, generally loses it at things that you think that they shouldn't, we want to invite you to join us. Let's talk about spring shifts, shall we? I did an Instagram story about this the other day. So if you follow me on Instagram, you saw this, but I wanted to do a podcast episode on it because honestly, it's something that I'm living with my own dogs right now. And as many of you know, most of my podcast topic ideas come to me when I'm out walking my dogs. So no surprise, I was out walking my dogs and some things transpired and it led to the creation of this episode, Spring Shift. So if you live in a climate where you have winter and then you have spring and then you have winter, and then you have spring and it's all kind of interchanged, you are living this right now. But something that I notice in Colorado specifically, but I know that this is very applicable to lots of other places, is that one, when the weather improves, there are just more people out. And that's great for them, but maybe less great for you if you're attached to your dogs and that presents some distraction and some challenges for them. And this is something that I definitely have been feeling. So we have seen like some spurts of spring weather, right? Like a couple straight days of pretty warm and sunny weather. And I get out and walk my dogs every single day. Sometimes we hike, sometimes we walk, but mainly in our neighborhood walks, that's where I'm seeing an increase of people. There are just more people out, more dogs out, kids on skateboards, kids on bicycles, just generally more going on in the environment. And that presents its own set of challenges because for most of us, we've just been all winter out and there hasn't been as much going on. So I do just want to state that it is totally normal to see swings in your dog's behavior as the seasons change. I don't know about you, but I also notice swings in my behavior, okay? Because we are all experiencing the temperature changes and the season changes in our own ways. So there's nothing abnormal about your dog's behavior starting to change. But in today's episode, I want to give you some helpful insight into why that's happening, but also some practical strategies that you can use to see improved behavior. So because there are more distractions out, I was definitely noticing some behaviors in Spicy specifically, not that Waylon's immune to them, but Spicy specifically, that were annoying. And also a little problematic. Spicy is really typically pretty good about, like, you know, seeing people and dogs out on walks and not being too interested. And for the most part, she's happy to kind of meander by. But what's happening when we see more people and more dogs in back to back to back to back is that she's not as capable as at keeping her cool. And mainly that's resulting in her pulling towards the thing, usually the dog, which isn't in itself necessarily bad, but the reason that it has become problematic for me is that many of the people who are out walking their dogs in my neighborhood when it is warm out are people that are fair weather walkers. No judgment, just the truth. And because they are fair weather walkers, their dogs have less skills. And what's happening a lot is that a lot of the people in my neighborhood with dogs that are out walking, those dogs are kind of reactive. And, well, sometimes kind of, sometimes very reactive. And that gets Spicy really, really fired up. So usually I can just let Spicy kind of look at the dog, tell her like, yeah, I see it, and we can keep walking. And that's the major support that she needs from me. But unfortunately, with the increase of dogs and their behavior, she needs more support from me. Because those dogs are becoming reactive and pulling towards her. And then she is like, oh my gosh, okay, let's pull, let's be crazy. And this is very undesirable. I do not want this. I want Spicy to keep her cool. I would like to be able to pass dogs without it being this huge deal. And it's one of those that, like, in the moment, it's kind of annoying, but then it triggers this part of my brain that is like, Rachel, you create training plans for people every single day. Create a training plan for yourself. So I have been working on multiple things with Spicy, and I'm going to share that in just a minute, but I want to touch on one more thing. Oftentimes in the winter, there are just generally less distractions. There are less people out. There are less dogs out. Oftentimes there's not bikes. Oftentimes there's not skateboards. Oftentimes there's not a bunch of screaming kids. And as the seasons start to change, the distraction level just goes up. It doesn't mean that your dog is terrible. It doesn't mean that your training has disappeared completely. It just means that there are new pressures in the environment that you have to adjust around. And I think oftentimes people get so annoyed because they're like, oh my God, why do my dogs care? Well, they care because there's just generally more happening in the environment. And that's not their fault. That's not your fault. But you do have to pivot and adjust so that you both can be successful together. Okay. And I know that you beautiful people listening are the exception to the rule here. But the general dog population, they expect their dog just to do all of this perfect stuff on a walk without any effort from them. And welcome to the world. You got to earn it. If you want your dog to walk and behave really nicely out in the world, you have to be an active participant in that. It is not just your dog's responsibility to figure it out. So I will get off my soapbox because I know that I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's up to you, right? To show up and be an active participant in the walk and help your dog be more successful. And I'll be honest, in the winter, it's really easy for me to go out and walk the dogs and let them just sniff and do their thing and engage with me not that much. And I can kind of be in la la land and I can be walking. But as the seasons start to change and the distraction level goes up, we both have to shift. I'm shifting away from letting my dogs do as much sniffing just because I need their attention more frequently. And I am having just to stay a little bit more actively engaged in what is happening on the walk. And that's okay. We just got to shift, right? And I will say that it brings me a lot of joy and a lot of reinforcement to stay engaged with my dogs, to work with them and start to see, like, dang, we can do it. We can hold up to all these distractions. Okay. So I want to talk about some of the less than desirable behaviors that may be arising for you. Oftentimes it's more pulling. Oftentimes it's more lunging. Oftentimes it's just a decrease in listening. And all of the things that I'm going to talk about next can help with all of those things. So what I have been doing with my own dogs is I've been making a couple of shifts and a couple of changes. The first shift and change is just mixing up / increasing the value of the rewards that I'm bringing with me. Those are food rewards. Typically, I do some sort of freeze-dried meat as the food reward on walks. And I've just been mixing up the variety of that, right? So as disgusting as it is, freeze-dried beef liver, freeze-dried chicken hearts, freeze-dried fish, just making sure that I've got some variety, right, to increase the incentive for my dogs to engage with me when we face high levels of distraction. And then additionally, I've just been mixing up the different types of reinforcement. So obviously those treats are like little pieces that I can give them. I've also been bringing a lickable treat. Many of you are familiar with lickable treats because of my Instagram. Maybe you've worked with us and I've encouraged you to use them. The lickable treats that I use are made by a wonderful woman who is also a professional dog trainer. And the brand is called Bark Pouch. And they're basically little, like, think like kids applesauce packets, except for they're for dogs. And she makes all these like disgusting but appetizing to dog concoctions. And I've also been bringing those for some of like the most distracting things that are happening. So if we're spicy, especially if we're passing reactive dogs in close proximity, I've been bringing that. So I'm like really there to reinforce the desirable behavior that I want to see in place of the less than desirable behavior of pulling and kind of being just a lunatic. So definitely think about mixing up your treat value. And if you're listening and you have been lax about bringing treats on walks and your dog's behavior has been changing with spring and maybe you found yourself annoyed or frustrated with them, I want to encourage you just to get back in the habit of bringing those goodies with you. Because while we can expect more behavior from our dogs over the years with lots of training, we can't just completely fade reward. And Waylon is definitely still getting rewarded on walks. Thankfully, he's a real trooper and he is not reactive to reactive dogs. And he's great about just walking with me so that I can focus on Spicy. He's still getting some reinforcement. Okay. When we're talking about other strategies that we can use to combat the spring shifts in behavior, you can also be working on just more frequently asking your dog to perform cued behaviors. Something that both my dogs love to do is jump up onto surfaces. So a lot of our neighbors have like big decorative rocks or like little ledgeways. And I've just been doing more repetition of asking them to jump up on the rocks, some dog parkour, if you will. And the intention behind this is a couple fold. So I want to not only engage with my dogs more frequently so that they're able to engage with me kind of depending what's going on, but I also find the act of jumping up on something helps my dogs to kind of focus on that task and be a little bit less worried about like scanning and anticipating the next thing that's going to happen. That's something that I have definitely seen an increase in Spicy's behavior as we start to see more spring weather and we're faced with more distractions, is that she is more prone to kind of be at the end of the leash scanning the environment and seeing what's going on. And while that's not the end of the world, she's doing it more frequently than I want her to, and that becomes problematic when she does scan the environment and she does see a distraction. Her initial reaction is not what I want. Her initial reaction is just to like keep pulling more and like kind of get more animated, like, ooh, there's this person or there's that dog. What I really want her to do is when we're walking and she sees those things, I really want her to report back to me. And it's just up to me to give her more opportunities to focus on more productive things in the environment, and jumping up on rocks really serves that function for her. So I just want to encourage you just to generally stop, ask your dogs to perform some behaviors that they're already really good at. So a nose touch or a spin or a jump up. I'm not working too much on obedience in those moments. Like, I'm not asking for sits or downs, to be honest. I'm really asking for more engaged behavior that isn't necessarily stationary. All dogs are different, right? Like, some dogs just will be happy to like do a couple sits and that works. But I just want you to know that it doesn't have to be about like stopping and making them sit and making them lay down. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. What I'm suggesting is stopping and kind of captivating your dog's attention and asking them to perform a behavior that they really like to perform. But I really think that just by stopping more frequently and being like, hey, let's do a thing or two together here, it helps to promote more of that engagement so that when you do face more distractions, it is easier for your dog to perform the behaviors you need them to perform when faced with those distractions. I will also say that spring usually is a busy time for me as a dog trainer because many people are realizing that their dog's behavior is not where they want it to be. So there might also be some new skills that you need to be teaching. So I know that many of you who are longtime listeners are familiar with this, but those of you who are not, I love teaching dogs the behavior of walking with you at your side. This is not a heel, this is not a formal heel. This is just teaching the dog the act of walking right next to you with a loose leash, with a varying level of reinforcement depending on the dog. And this is another behavior that I have been focusing on a lot more with my dogs. Solo, they're both really great at the behavior. When they are together, when we are faced with distractions, it is not as strong as I want it to be. So I have just been doing more periodic practice of like, okay, we're walking, there's nothing going on. I ask them both to walk at my side and I make it engaging. I walk super fast, I slow down. I walk super fast, I slow down. The dog's like, ooh, okay, we're walking with you, this is great. And again, they're earning reinforcement for this. But that way, when I'm faced with, there's a guy in my neighborhood who has these two reactive dogs on retractable leashes, and he has very poor control over them. And if I don't have my dog's attention, it gets to be a little bit of a shit show. So I'm practicing that for moments like that, right? Where I'm faced with this guy whose dogs are going absolutely bonkers on the ends of their retractable leashes and really doing my best to keep my dog's attention. And I will say that we successfully passed those dogs in relatively close proximity and both my dogs nailed it. They walked right with me. They stayed engaged. It was beautiful. So it's possible. But if your dog doesn't already know the behavior of walking at your side on cue, I definitely think it's worth the time and energy to teach. That's something that you're going to have to do in short bursts when the distraction level is low. It's not going to hold up to high distractions yet, but thinking about the behaviors that maybe you could be working on in less distracting environments that would be really, really useful when you're out in the world and there are more distractions happening. So I think just simply asking your dog to perform more cued behaviors more frequently on walks can be super duper helpful. I was also mentioning that I'm dialing it back just a little bit on like the sniffy explorey for my dogs on the walk. For the most part, we live in a very quiet neighborhood that we don't see that many people. And for the most part, I can just let the dog sniff and do their things. But when I go out and I can tell that there's just more going on in the environment, I am much more inclined to keep the leashes shorter and ask the dogs to perform more behaviors and engage with me versus just like letting them sniff and do their thing the entire walk. Because if I let my dogs just sniff and sniff and they're up ahead and they're sniffing and we face a distraction, it's a little bit less probable that I'm going to be as successful getting their attention passing that distraction as I want. And, you know, y'all know that I love a good long leash. I love using retractable leashes, but sometimes I do think that shortening up the leash a little bit does just lead to a little bit more success and honestly ease for you as the handler because you just have less leash to deal with. So in addition to increasing treat value, asking for more performed behaviors, like I was saying, I also like to use the environment to engage my dogs a little bit more, right? So like, is there a bench that you can ask the dog to jump up on? Can you ask the dog to jump up on a decorative rock or a ledge? So I think that there's lots of ways to engage your dog in the environment that can be super duper helpful for just setting the tone for the walk. If you follow me on Instagram and you saw the stories that I posted about spring, something else that I mentioned is what we call priming. Priming meaning if you're asking your dog to perform more cued behaviors, it's going to be much easier for you to captivate their attention when you need it versus if you go out and you haven't asked your dog to do anything and then all of a sudden you see like a crazy distraction, it's going to be less likely they're going to respond than if you did more engaging with them before that. And this is something I just noticed so starkly with my two. So something that I've been doing is, honestly, I don't always do at the door before we go out. I've been asking them to stand there and wait, look at me before I release them out. We get out the door, same thing. I'm stopping, asking them to look at me before we start walking. So I'm just kind of setting the tone that I'm going to expect more from them. I want them to pay attention to me. I'm going to make it worth their while to engage. And that priming makes it much easier to face many of the distractions that we see when we're out on a walk. Additionally, I am just being more thoughtful about how I handle my dogs. I'm engaging the environment and kind of perceiving some things that are going to happen and adjusting accordingly so that we can be more successful. The guy that I was talking about with the reactive dogs on retractable leashes, if I see him and I can avoid him, I'm going to. I don't always, but I'm just making smart handling choices so that we can be more successful. I noticed a huge spike in off-leash dog activity in the spring. And I will be honest, I have seen some dogs off leash that I can just tell have no training and no recall, and I have just been avoiding them. I'm like, I have better things to do with my time than deal with this person's off leash dog. So I'm also just being more proactive about making decisions in the environment and handling and direction changes, just so that we can all be successful. Remember, you don't have to do the hard things every single time. Do we want our dogs to be able to do the hard things? Yes. But do we want to ask them to do them too much? No. There's definitely a fine line between that. So I think just being more proactive about engaging the environment and making decisions based on how successful your dog will or will not be, right? Just knowing your dog. So much of that is just knowing your dog. Isn't it so funny that we've come full circle and I finally have an episode where Waylon is not the problem? It's actually Spicy who's the problem. I think that Waylon would be delighted to know that he has been redeemed on this podcast. All right, everyone, happy spring to you. I love the season change. Gosh, it brings me so much joy to see the plants coming to life. Many of you know that I love gardening. It is like my second passion to dogs. And seeing our garden come to life is so immensely reassuring for the soul. I hope you all are experiencing that. I hope that you are soaking in that sunshine. You're appreciating an extra hour of light to get your dogs out. But as spring starts to shift, you also need to shift. And I think that the few shifts that I have suggested today can make an immense difference in your ability to successfully navigate your neighborhood with your dog. Everybody have a beautiful weekend. Smooch those puppies for me. And I am already looking forward to the next episode.
There are loads of ways to support this podcast. Many of you who have left reviews, many of you have shared this podcast with your friends and family, but we've created another way for you to support this podcast by making a monetary financial contribution. You can choose from a one-time contribution or making a small monthly contribution to continue to make Disorderly Dogs possible. You can learn more at the link in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you need help with your dog's behavior, you can learn more about our training services at agoodfeelingdogtraining.com. We post training inspiration and training tips almost daily over on the Instagram at agoodfeeling_NCO. If you like this podcast, we would be so grateful if you could share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from all of the information. It's been a total delight. We love this podcast so much. And thank you so much for listening to Disorderly Dogs.